Good evening. It's a blessing to be gathered together. Before I forget, thank you so much for your love and for your appreciation and your kind words and the generous love gifts and a warm place to stay and all the food. It seemed like every night there was some snacks in our van afterwards, and so thank you for all of those things, and God bless you. Welcome tonight. I see that there's a man that I haven't seen for a while in the audience tonight. Welcome, Jay. But something's kind of changed here. I used to sit and listen to you. Now you get to sit and listen to me, I guess, or something. I still have a running joke from when I was at Reading a number of years ago with my family. That's all right if I share it. We can handle a Reading joke, can't we, before we... When we was at Reading for revivals a number of years ago, some of the brothers there, they blessed me with a new set of tires on my van. And my brothers and my family at home got wind of that, and so they often still razz me. They said, "Terry, did you put your old set of tires on before you went for revivals again?" They think I got a whole barn full of new tires out there, you know? Thank you for coming tonight. And we've been talking a lot about this week about life and worshiping God. And tonight we want to spend some of our focus on what God has prepared for those of us tonight who are faithful to Him. We want to talk tonight about the glory of heaven and what we're going to experience there and the worship that will be there. But before we go to that, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's just read a few verses there. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 6 to 8. And then let's read 11 and the first part of verse 12, okay? I want to challenge you tonight. We've talked some this week a lot about being intentional with God. We've talked about worshiping God. They tell me, I don't have any cows and I don't have any livestock, okay? But just in a light way, they tell me that the happiest cow gives the most milk. Okay? And you know, I believe tonight that if we can be content in Christ, it is a great gain. You see, when I am content in Christ, when I am content in the content of Christ, it's great gain. And let's just read these verses, okay? It says, but godliness, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. And now let's drop up to down to 11 and 12. It says, but thou, O man, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, and then he says, fight the good fight of faith, and then he says, lay hold on eternal life. I like to think of that as having a death grip on eternal life, that, you know, when someone talks about a death grip, that they were so scared that their hands were just latched onto that, and they felt the need so strong for that, that you couldn't have hardly have pried their fingers off humanly. You know, and tonight I want to challenge you. I want to have a death grip on eternal life. I want you to experience a death grip and to have a death grip on eternal life. And that, you know, in order to do that, if we are content in the things of God, you know, when a man is content with his wife, he doesn't look elsewhere. When a wife is content with her husband, she doesn't look elsewhere because they're content and they're satisfied. You know, It's kind of interesting sometimes when we go into the Amish community at home, the horses can have a whole pasture filled of grass, but they'll have their head through the fence or over the fence, and they're trying to, you know, eat on the outside. And you know, the Bible says that we shouldn't be as a horse. Do you know the Bible says that? It says, be not as the horse. Somebody look that up. It is in Scripture, okay? I can't think of the reference right now, but it is in there. Be not as the horse. And one guy said, you know, a horse, he has a long face, and they're kind of sober, and they kind of stink, you know, they're not very clean, and all these things, and they kind of push the fence, and they like to eat on the other side of the fence. And, you know, one thing I've noticed as I drive down the road over into the Amish community, that whenever it storms, they don't face the storm, okay? They turn the other way, which I would too if I had to be out there. But, you know, they don't face the storm. So let's, with the power of God on our lives, let's face the storm, okay? And let's be faithful to God, and let's be content in God. And so take your Bibles tonight. And I want to look for a little while here at two chapters, don't get scared, but two chapters from the book of Revelation. Turn to Revelation chapter 4, all right? We're going to look at Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5 tonight. And these two chapters, they come right after what most of us probably have are most familiar with in the book of Revelation is the seven churches. Two of those were good, five of them were not. Two were healthy, five were not healthy, although some of them felt like they would. But then the scene changes after chapter 3 here, and we go into chapter 4. And I think to begin with, we'll just go ahead, neither of them are real long chapters, so let's just go ahead, take your Bibles, and let's just read chapter 4 here together, and then we'll read 5 a little bit down the road here. It says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, and said, come up hither, and I will show thee these things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in what kind of raiment? White. That's always the raiment of the righteous. Okay, white. All right. And before and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And I'm sorry, in verse 4 it says, and on their head were crowns of gold. Verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rested not day and night, saying, let's say that together. Holy, holy, holy. One more time. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
we've been talking about worship. And we said that all through history, all through Scripture, the Bible is full of worship from Genesis to Revelation. And when we leave this life and we go on to glory, we go on to the ultimate worship, okay? It's worship of God. God is worthy of all of our praise. And we really want to spend a little more time tonight on chapter 5, but we want to pick out some things here on chapter 4. In chapter 4, it seems to be that the focus here of the vision that John is seeing in chapter 4 here is God sitting on his throne. And then when we go to chapter 5, Jesus Christ comes onto the scene, okay? But in chapter 4 here, God is sitting on his throne. And whenever we look at throne in the Word of God, it usually means power, okay? Authority. You know, he's on the throne. You know, sometimes we ask, who is on the throne room of your heart? Who is controlling your heart? Well, here John says it clearly that God is on the throne. And I want to encourage you tonight, brothers and sisters, don't give up, okay? God is on the throne. I like that. I told you that, but never forget that. He's on the throne, and he's in control. And he's not even nervous. Isn't that wonderful? He's not sitting up there thinking, what am I going to do with this Terry Myers? He's not sitting up there thinking, wow, this Donald Trump, that took me by surprise. No. He knows all those things. You know, and so he's not even nervous. Do you ever get nervous sometimes because you don't know for sure what the outcome's going to be? Brothers and sisters, tonight, we have a God that is not nervous because he is in total control, absolute control. Absolute control. When we start to get nervous is when we think that we have a right to be in control. You see, then we start to get nervous. But we have a God tonight that is on the throne. And you know, when I look around me and I see all these things, I tell you, sometimes if it wasn't for God, I'd be really nervous. And I have to admit that sometimes I'm nervous anyhow, okay? I'm human. You know, a number of years ago, I was kind of discouraged and I was kind of frustrated with God. And I told God this. I said, how do you expect me to raise a family in this world like it is? And you know what he told me? He said, you can. But he said, I'll help you. You see, I had to get out of the way. Yeah, I have to do my part, but am I going to keep my family? No, 1 Peter says they're going to be kept by the what? The power of God. Do I have tremendous responsibility? Absolutely. But you know, we have a God tonight that is in control. And we have a God tonight that the Bible says that he can control the heart of the king like water that runs down through the canal. I mean, he can control it. He can turn the king's heart this way. He can turn the king's heart that way. He can do whatever he wants. You know, he never promised us that we would never face any battles or any persecution or any struggles. But he said, I will be with you, okay? I will keep you. When thou passest through the waters, okay, I will be with you. And as I think about God sitting on his throne, I want to put some word pictures into your mind tonight. And some of the word pictures that I put in your mind, they're not necessarily doctrine, but don't you ever like to sometimes just think about heaven a little bit and what all's there? Can you imagine just for a moment if you would stepping in, I like to call it stepping into the throne room of God. Can you imagine that? Stepping into the throne room of God. You know, in the last year, we've had 6 weddings in our church, and it's very interesting to watch that groom as he stands there and he waits. You know, the first girl walks in, and that's nothing, and the second, and nothing. You know? You know what I mean? You know? But wow, he's looking back there at the end, you know. And then when he sees his bride, it's like, whoa, you know. Because because this is the love of his life, you know? But brothers and sisters, we have something that's much greater than that. Can you imagine God sitting on his throne up here and we come into his throne room? Donald Trump was in Fort Wayne the other week. He was trying to buy votes for the Republican senator. And people went there early. 20,000 people gathered to see the president and to cheer him on. There was 200 protesters, and the media showed the protesters, but not the 20,000 people. But anyhow, 20,000 people to get a glimpse of just hearing or seeing the president. I wouldn't have minded of seeing him. It's not that it was wrong to see the president, but you know, what do you think about when we step into that throne room of God? The throne room of God, where the whole heaven just says, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." The whole realm of heaven is just worshiping day and night. Can you imagine? Like I say, it's not going to be all like this, but can you imagine stepping into the throne room of heaven and there is God who loves us, who gave his Son for us, who redeemed us by his Son, who created us, who loves us beyond passion, who created us, who created the world, the God of all gods. He is the only God. Can you imagine tonight stepping into his presence? And some people think they're going to have something to tell God. No. Okay? I believe that when we go into the throne room of God and we stand before him, I believe we're going to fall down and we're going to worship. Can you imagine going into the throne room of God before the creator of the universe and Jesus Christ is there and he says, "Father, this is Terry Myers and he is one of ours. He has accepted my blood upon his life." Can you imagine looking into the eyes of the Father and him and the Father looking into your eyes and saying, "Well done, Terry. Well done. Well done, Jim. Well done, Ray. Well done, Jay Fox. Well done." Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine going before the throne room of God and what would you give God for all that he's done for you? What are you going to have to give? It talks about casting our crowns before him. You know, it does seem like we're going to receive a crown. That's what the Bible talks about. But can you imagine going before the throne room of God and there he is and we fall down and we worship him and then we just simply say, "Thank you, Father. I don't deserve this. I really don't have anything to give you, but I am going to cast my crown before you. I know it's nothing. I mean, I know your streets are made of gold and all of this, but you know, thank you." Do you think at that moment that you're going to have questions for God? No way. No way. See, that's why we have to get used to worshiping God on this earth. He gave us this time to begin to start our worship of God. And then when we get there, it's just a continuation in a final state of worship. As I think about that, the throne room of God and the glory that waits there. Look what they said in verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Do you think we could sing that tonight? Thou art worthy. Let's just all stand together a moment, okay? And let's just focus on the throne room of God. And let's just sing that song, Thou Art Worthy. You guys, you all do know that, right? Because I don't got my heaven voice yet, so. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power, for thou hast created, hast all things created. Be seated. What a wonderful time. We want to go on over into chapter 5 now. As we get this picture of heaven and what John saw. And let's begin reading now in chapter 5. He says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look therein. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look therein. So John is having this vision, and he sees this glorious scene in heaven. And God is sitting on the throne, and he is being worshipped, and he has this book, which I believe represents our salvation, our redemption. And it says that there was no one found in heaven or in earth that was worthy to open the book. Okay? And John said, I began to weep because there was no one found to redeem us, to wash away our blood, to cleanse us. And he said, I began to weep because they found no one. But let's read on, okay? Verse 5, it says, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to look and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as if it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. I believe that's a picture tonight, brothers and sisters, of our blessed Jesus Christ, who redeemed us, okay? And as I think of that picture, here is God Almighty, and he's sitting on the throne, and all of this glory and all this worship, and he is King, he is Lord of King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet there's this book in his hand, and no one is found worthy. But then Jesus Christ comes on the scene, which we all know he was found worthy, and he is worthy, and he took that book, or he took that scroll out of the hand of God. I love that picture. In no way was he cocky. In no way was he whatever, but he had all authority to do it, okay? He was the perfect sacrificial lamb. And so can't you see him walking across that throne room of God and going to the Father and taking that book and redeeming us? This is the same Jesus. This is the same Lord that is revealed in all through the book of Revelation. It says that Revelation is it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay? It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. And so here is Jesus Christ, and he takes this book, the book of redemption, and he redeems us. And you know, it's the same Jesus who came, when he came the first time, he came very quietly. Just a few people in a stable, a few shepherds, a few wise men a couple years later. Not a lot of big ado. Lived on this earth for 33 years. He died. He rose again. And he ascended back to glory. And you know, when he ascended back to glory, yeah, there was several hundred people there maybe. But you know, he kind of came. Well, no, he didn't kind of come. He come as a lamb for the slaughter, okay? And a sheep is really a very unique animal. They say that you can take a sheep to the slaughter and he won't open his mouth. He won't make any noise. He'll just stand there and be killed. And that's how Jesus came. As a helpless sheep. You know, when a sheep falls over on its side, it can't get back up unless the shepherd helps it. If they lay down on a hill and they go over a little bit too far, they can't get up. They lay there and kick around. And isn't it interesting that Jesus depicts us as sheep? Okay? You know why he does that? Because we are in so desperate need of a shepherd. He didn't call us lions, did he? The king of the jungle? No. He didn't depict us as some kind of an animal that was very self-sufficient, which he didn't. We are not animals, but he didn't liken us to that. He likened us to a sheep who needed a shepherd, who needed a Savior. And I love what this says here, that it says that Jesus Christ, he came on the scene, and it says that he was as a lamb that was slain. It seems like that when John saw him, he seen the nail prints, he seen those scars in the head. The Bible says that the visage of Jesus, that his body was so tore up that you would not even have recognized him, okay? In fact, if you had a real picture of him being on the cross, you wouldn't hang it on the wall. You wouldn't want your child to look at it because it would be that grotesque. It would just be awful. His body was just torn up for you and I. And John says, I saw as it was a lamb that had been slain. But I like what it says in verse 5, okay? It says, he is now the root of the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. So you see, he came quietly, he left quietly, but when he comes back, he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For you and I, for all of us who are faithful to him, he's coming back in total control. He's not coming back as a lamb to the slaughter. He's not going to leave quietly. When he comes back, he is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is going to be total authority, and every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And as I think about that, I want to be part of that group. Don't you? You want to miss that for this old world? No. I don't want to miss it for the world. You know, this is the same Jesus. Flip to Revelation 1. Flip back to Revelation 1. 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and I am the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Flip with me to Ephesians here for just a moment. Ephesians 4. You know, I don't know what all these passages mean for sure. But I believe that this is the same Jesus who Ephesians here talks about, the same Lord who descended down into the heart of the earth. I don't know what all happened there. But I know that he said in Revelation, I have the keys of hell and of death. Okay? Let's just read here a little bit in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, but what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Okay, I don't know what all happened, but you know, I like to let my mind wander sometimes. And you know, the Bible says that if Satan would have known, he would not have had the Lord crucified. See, he's not all knowing. And I like to let my mind wander sometimes, and you kind of let your mind wander with mine a little bit, but you know, I believe that you know, Satan and his army and his demons and things, they were watching Christ there on the cross. And I think they were cheering him on as that life began to go out of the Son of God there on the cross. I believe that they were cheering. And they were probably saying, yes, we're winning, we're winning, we're killing the Son of God, yes. And as he takes those last breaths and he says, it is finished, there was probably what we would call in our minds today, there Satan throws a party, okay? And because he feels like he has won, he has killed the Son of God, he has destroyed the Son of God. He has now finally gotten even with God. And you know, I like this thought. Just think about this in a human way, okay? So Satan and his army, they are having a victory feast, okay? And they're worshiping the devil, and he is totally with full of glee and joy because he feels like he has won. He has won. He has killed the Son of God. You know, and as this party is going on, suddenly down the halls, they hear footsteps, okay? And they hear footsteps, and they get louder, and they get louder, and they get louder. And suddenly, at the door room of that party, stands someone who was not invited, and it is Jesus Christ himself. And I just love that thought. I don't know how it was. I have no idea. But I just love the thought of seeing Jesus Christ just walking through those demons, through the powers of darkness, and going right up to the throne, Satan's throne. And Satan is furious. He is shaking. He is trembling. And he walks up to him, and Satan, he just hands him. He doesn't even have to ask for him. You see, when you're all authority, you don't even have to ask. You see? And can't you, I love that scene of seeing Satan just handing the keys over to Christ. Christ turning around, walking back out. You know, I don't know what it means that they were captive, but we only have our human minds. But can you imagine how furious it might have been if in our minds we think about Christ just walking down through those halls, unloosening those doors, and the people being released? It wasn't all like that. We know that. But tonight we serve a God who has overcome death. He has the keys of hell and of death, and he is in total control, and Satan is still furious, okay? He's still furious, and he's going to try to get every one of us that we can, that he can, in order to get back at God. And he still has his last ditch effects, which he's worked bringing into control right now, I believe, by beginning to control people's mind and having control of the world and all these different things. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, tonight, by the authority of the gospel, he is going to lose. Okay? He's going to lose. Jesus said, I will build my church. And he said, the gates of hell will not prevail. By the grace of God, brothers and sisters, tonight, I plan to be part of that church. How about you? Amen. I plan to be part of that army. I don't know what all that means and what all that might cost. But I want to focus on the fact that the cost will be cheap compared to the reward. Now let's read on here, back here, and let's flip back and finish Revelation chapter 5, okay? Let's begin reading at verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors. Now this is it. Listen to this. Which are the prayers of the saints? Isn't that interesting? Do you have a wayward child tonight? Don't stop praying. Those prayers are on record. The prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Listen to this. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels around about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was huge. 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands saying with a loud voice, what did they say? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and in the sea, and that under them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Do you believe tonight that Jesus Christ is worthy of all of your worship, of all of your life? Quickly turn to 1 Corinthians 15, and let's read a little bit more there about the victory. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, tonight we serve a God that is an overcoming God. We serve a God tonight that is alive. We serve a God that may come and take us home shortly. Very possible. Let's continue our worship of Him. You know, the Bible tells us in 8 different times in the book of Revelation who's going to be in heaven. Did you know that? Let's read those. Turn with me back to the book of Revelation. I want you to follow along because I want you to say a word when we come to it, all right? Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that what?" Say that word. "Overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Same chapter, verse 11. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that shall not be hurt of the second death." Same chapter, verse 17. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written." Same chapter, verse 26. "And he that and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." Chapter 3, verse 5. "He that the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." Same chapter, verse 12. "Him that will I make a pillar in the temple of my God." Same chapter, verse 21. "To him that will I grant to sit with me in my throne." And then chapter 21, verse 7. Chapter 21, verse 7. "He that shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Isn't that wonderful? Who's going to be in heaven? "He that overcometh." How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their life unto death. Wow. We serve a God tonight. I don't even know sometimes why I even consider worshiping anything else, but I do sometimes. When he is worthy of all of our praise, all of our glory. Do you know anybody else in your life or on this earth that can compare to God? No. And yet in Romans, we read the first night, I believe it was, that they will worship the creature or the creation more than the Creator. Let's pray. Father, tonight we have looked into your word and have been challenged and encouraged of the day that we're looking forward to, when we can be in your presence and we can worship you forever and ever. Because truly you alone are worthy. Truly you alone are worthy of all power and glory and strength and honor. You created us. You redeemed us. You have loved us. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I'm not 100% for sure exactly how to close this service, but Lord, as we go through these next few moments, I just pray in the name of Jesus that the powers of darkness would be driven out of this building and out of our lives, and that the Spirit of God would have total reign and total control. I pray that every one of us would empty ourselves so that we could come under the influence and the control and the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I believe we will give an invitation this evening. Haven't done a lot of those this week, but that's okay. The invitation tonight is going to be that if you want to make a, if you feel a need, maybe you feel like there's a need in your life where you haven't been worshiping God the way that you ought, or you have been worshiping something else other than God, the invitation is for you. Maybe you're here tonight and you just want to make a vow before God and these people that I vow that I am going to worship God and I'm going to worship Him alone. By the grace of God, I am going to worship God because He is worthy of all of our praise. And I think this evening we'll sing that song again, Thou Art Worthy. And if you feel a need tonight in your life to make, I want to say this too, don't do it because only do it if you mean it. You understand what I'm saying? Only do it if you really have been touched and you want to make that commitment to God, that vow. I don't like commitment, I like vow. That vow to God that I want to worship You and You alone. As we sing that song, I'm going to ask you to come up here, and I'm going to step off to the side over here. If you want to come up, I'll join you. But if you feel that need tonight, just come up and let's just focus on God being on the throne of God, and we just want to worship Him. Let's just sing. Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor. Sing that one more time and close the invitation. Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to let's all stand together. And let's just reverently focus on God on His throne room. And let's just, this can be open for brothers or sisters. Let's just worship Him with praise from our mouth. Thank you for whatever. All right? I'll just open that up for a few moments of worship to God. Just feel free to say what's on your heart. Amen.
Father, thank you for your precious Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Thank you for the time with me. Thank you for Jesus, who is worthy and joyful for the most.
Amen. 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 Father, tonight I just want to thank you again for being God. Thank you for being in control. Thank you that the outcome is not in doubt. Thank you that you remember that we're dust and that we're frail. And sometimes we worry and sometimes we get shaken up. And thank you that you draw us back to you. Thank you, Father. Help us. We want to worship you in spirit and in truth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you all. You are dismissed. God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
Yes.